All right, let's open up our Bibles to Romans chapter 11. We're going to start with Romans 11, 33 as we continue our series called God Is. It's an exploration into various aspects of the character of God, the nature of God. Romans 11, 33 as we're going there. Now, while you're doing that, just keep in mind, before we do what I'm about to ask you to do, it's a safe place. We love each other here. We give each other the benefit of the doubt. Not very judgmental here. Very, very chill group here at Redeemer. So, raise your hand if you use TikTok on any level. I want to see those hands. Raise your hand. Don't, like, come on, safe place. So, first service, I was surprised because, let's just say they're more seasoned people at the first service in general. There were some TikTok users there. If you don't know what TikTok is a social media app. People make videos, right? Now, one of the dominant ways that these videos are created is by taking audio clips from movies or music or TV shows and then creating your own video to go over the audio. And so recently, right now anyways, one of the really popular ones is an audio clip from a movie. And in the clip it says, do you ever look at someone and think, what is going on in their mind? And then they show their friends or their dogs or somebody doing something crazy in response to that little clip, that little quote. Now, that quote comes from a movie called Inside Out. It's a Pixar movie. You guys see Inside Out? All right, so basically, it's a quote from that movie. This little girl, you ever wonder what's going on inside a person's mind? And what's going on in our minds, according to the movie, is our emotions are essentially all contributing to or seeking to control our lives. And it's an interesting movie. I thought it was kind of fun. When do we ask that question, though? What is going on in that person's life? Do you ever look at someone and think, what is going on inside their head? We ask that question when somebody is doing something that seems off or wrong or stupid, but we can't quite understand why they would do what they're doing. That's why we ask the question. We don't get it. It makes no sense to us. And what I've come to learn is that at the critical times in our life, which are typically critical times in our faith, we wind up asking that very question about God. What is going on in his head? What is he doing? I can see that you're doing this thing down here, God, but I don't understand why you would choose this. This seems wrong, ridiculous, painful, uncomfortable. This doesn't work for me. That's when you start to ask that kind of question. Maybe you don't articulate it or verbalize it in that way, but we wonder, I don't understand what God is doing. And it can lead us to places of doubt, frustration, anger, rebellion. And the key to not just making it through those times, but allowing those periods in our lives when we're asking that question to be transformed is embracing the answer to that question. What's going on in God's mind? The answer is divine wisdom. The wisdom of God is what helps us to answer that question that we will all ask at various points in our lives. What is God's wisdom? It's actually not what a lot of people might think. A lot of people just kind of think, it's just God knows. It's just his knowledge. It's his omniscience. But there's a difference, a distinction between God's knowledge and his wisdom. So let me say it this way. God's wisdom is what guarantees that his purpose and his plan will produce the best results through the best means. I know that's a long one. Pastor Brian complained that it took up almost the whole screen. It's important for us to think of it this way, and I'll make it even shorter for us, but God's wisdom guarantees that his purpose, right, the goal of God in all things, and the plan, the outworking, the strategy, the practicality of that plan, produce the best results through the best possible means. In other words, to really shorten it, that the wisdom of God means that the purpose and plans of God are best. They are the best possible choice. In Romans chapter 11, verse 33, Paul gets to this place where he says, oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. This is like, it's almost like a musical that you don't know you're watching, right? Because it's like Paul's arguing and articulating, and he's getting into theology and Israel and the plan of God, the redemptive plan of God. And in chapters 9, 10, and 11, he's talking about Israel and the remnant, and how in the end there's going to be this revival, and that there will be many in the nation of Israel who are converted, and on it's going. And he gets to this point where there seems to be so much excitement, so much passion over who God is and what he is doing and the plan of God, that he bursts almost into song. Then he says, oh, the depths and of the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God. He can't hold it in. It's a song of praise, a song about God's wisdom and knowledge. It is deep. It is rich. It is more than you would expect, but most of us don't really think about it. Of all the attributes of God, of all these aspects of God's nature and character that we do think about, wisdom is generally not one of them. Knowledge comes up on the scene every once in a while, but not wisdom. You see, the knowledge of God it's God's insight into the nature and the essence of all things. It's his understanding. God has all knowledge. He is omniscient. We're more familiar with that, but the idea of God being wise, his wisdom means his plans are best, his purposes are best. His plans are best, his purposes are best. And what wisdom, the wisdom of God in particular, can do is it can lead us to a place of true, like real, authentic, and significant peace and joy, which we desperately need, particularly in those times when our lives are challenged and our faith is being tested. So we can look in Scripture. It doesn't take long to find passages in Scripture that speak about God as wise. God, I mean, for example, one well-known passage is Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. Where does it belong? Where does it rest? Where does it find its seat, wisdom? It finds it in God himself. In Isaiah 28, 29, it says that God is wonderful in counsel, excellent in wisdom. This is the God that we read of in Scripture, the God that we believe in. Wisdom is grounded in his nature. It's who he is. He is always wise in what he does. It's like that expression that we use. There's an expression that we use to describe people when they're doing something usually disappointing, maybe annoying, but they're known for doing it. We just go like, well, you know, Jimmy's Jimmy, you know. Jimmy's gonna do Jimmy. What are you gonna say? Or they'll say, okay, they say Joe is Joe. But my son, for years, whenever my son, we would go to Chinese food, we'd go to the buffet, get the whole buffet, and because it's the only time my kids will all eat, and we go to the buffet, and my kids they drop the fortune cookies on the table. So my move is to make sure everybody gets a cookie, and my oldest son, my firstborn son, gets the gift of me smashing his cookie every time. Smash it, and then I slide it over to him. He opens it up, and out the crumbs, that's what he gets to eat. That's, you know. And if you were to see it, and you could see his face go, huh, every year of his life, until he finally complained at like 12. He's like, can you stop? Well, I would do that. But if you were to ask him, why does he do that? He'd go, dad's dad, you know. It's the frog and the scorpion thing. It's all that it is, right? It's like, it's in my nature. I'm going to do that. Listen, okay, so Joe is Joe. It's just what he does. God is God. God is wisdom. God is wise. He can only be wise. He can only do what is wise. It is who he is. And we see it in his works. Right? We don't just read about it in his nature. We see it in his works, in his work of creation. Listen, you don't even need Scripture to tell you that God is wise. You can look at creation. You should be able to conclude in the manifold wisdom of God and just observing what he has made. But Scripture, of course, does speak to it again and again. In Psalm 104, verse 24, listen. O Lord, how manifold are your works in wisdom. You have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Or in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 12, listen. It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding stretched out the heavens. Most of us have hopefully had an experience or two, I wish there was more, where you marvel at creation. Most of you probably had that, right? At some point where you marvel. Maybe it's because you were looking through a microscope in school and you got to see things down at the cellular level and you're like, what is going on? How complicated and mind-blowing is this? Or maybe it's through a telescope and you're seeing off into our solar system and beyond, and it's so beautiful and organized and overwhelming. Maybe it's because you just found yourself in an outdoor context and you're marveling at the number of stars that you can see when there are no man-made lights around. We marvel at everything from the solar system down to the human body, at God's wisdom in what he does, like creation. God's wisdom is seen in creation. God's wisdom is seen in redemption, in salvation, the salvation that he offers sinful humanity. That's us. Right, for example, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 through 12. Just listen to this. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. Now track the concepts that Paul is pushing, thinking about God's wisdom, his plans, and his purposes, okay? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. God, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. What is salvation? What is redemption? What does it mean to be saved, to get saved? It means all of this and more. That it was in God's wisdom. Like, salvation isn't an accident. It didn't just happen. God didn't just be like, hey, let's try this. Let's just see how this works out. It was perfect divine wisdom that offers adoption to spiritual orphans like us. God adopts us, forgives us, gives us an inheritance, causes his Holy Spirit to take up residency inside of us, and we are sealed with that Spirit. We are guaranteed this eternal future with God and with his people, the plan of salvation, the purpose of salvation being the glory of God, all of it stems from divine wisdom. Salvation is God's wise plan. So you consider these works of God, like creation, salvation, but you can even think of providence, right? God's wise in his providence, his providential care of all things at all times. There's a passage in Proverbs 16:4. It can be an overwhelming verse. It's a short one, but it causes some people to pause for quite a long time and try to work it out. It says, "The Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked, for the day of trouble." God has made everything for its purpose. Stop there. Everything in your life, every experience, every relationship, every obstacle, every attack, everything in your life has a purpose. It is useful in some way. Everything, even the wicked, for the day of trouble. Even when enemies come at you and seek to take you down, there is purpose behind all of it. That only makes sense if God is truly wise. It's the wisdom of God that makes sense of all things. A lot of people think of the day of trouble, whether that's a day of judgment, right, or a day of affliction and hardship and difficulty. We get to those points and we think like, There's no purpose to this. This seems so random. It's so chaotic, and I don't have any answers, and I don't know what's going on in God's head, so it doesn't seem right, and we don't know what to do with it. But if we embrace the wisdom of God, then we understand that everything has a purpose. God has a purpose overall, his glory, but also for our good. Right? We read this in Romans chapter 8, right? That God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him. He has a purpose for his glory and our good in every conceivable, real, or imagined situation. Everything that you go through does have a purpose. So when you start to ask, like, what is God doing? I don't understand, because things are difficult, painful, confusing. When you ask, I don't know what's going on in God's mind, we may not know. We may not know all the things. In fact, well, may not know. We're never going to know all the things that God is doing. We're not going to understand so many of the things that God is doing. But what we can know is that God is wise, that his plan is best, the purpose is best, that God knows what he's doing. What we can know is that God's wisdom guarantees that his purpose and plan provide the best results through the best means. In fact, in the historic Baptist Confession of Faith, the 1689 Confession, chapter 5, paragraph 1, just listen, on divine providence. Again, remember, wisdom. God, the good creator of all things, in his infinite power and wisdom, doth uphold, direct, dispose, and govern all creatures and things, from the greatest even to the least, by his most wise and holy providence, to the end for which they were created, according to his infallible foreknowledge and the free, immutable counsel of his own will, to the praise of the glory of his wisdom, power, justice, infinite goodness, and mercy. God is wise in his providence, in his sovereignty. God does his best. Now, if we can begin to see this in Scripture and say, I want to confess this, I want to believe this, I ultimately want to receive this, then we should be asking, what do I do with this? What is my response? So what? That's always the question. So what? Okay, so we've got another sort of, seems kind of abstract. God is wise. Kind of what I would have said true and on a true false, but what does it matter in my life? One thing. I have one point of application. I would fail my preaching classes back in the day because I only have one point of application for you, but you can handle it. A wise God grants wisdom. That's really all that you need to know in terms of application. I'll explain why that matters. A wise God will impart wisdom. This is important because we tend to think that information is power. That's even a thing, right? Information is power. I know people, we say that. It's a saying. But information, really, that's not power. I mean, we think information can deliver us. We think education can save us in some way. But, I mean, it's 2020. We're in the 21st century, right? Look around. We're perishing. We have more information accessible to us now than at any other time in human history. We are filling up with information all the time. We have more problems now than ever. We don't need information. Information is good. What we need is wisdom. And a wise God imparts wisdom. In fact, in James chapter 1, verse 5, well-known verse, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. I mean, that's such a beautiful picture. God, who has infinite wisdom. He is infinitely wise. He delights in granting wisdom to the ignorant. That's us. We have to ask. We just have to ask. We ask God. We believe in faith that he is good and wise and will grant it to us. In James chapter 3, beginning in verse 13, what does it say? Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above. See, wisdom as a gift. It's a gift that is given. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. That's wisdom. You need some knowledge. You could even say you need knowledge to survive, but you need wisdom to thrive, right? To really understand how we are supposed to walk through this life that God has laid out before us. Wisdom is a gift from God. In fact, if we go back to Ephesians chapter 1 and look at verse 15, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. Wisdom is something we pray for, something we ask for, something that we receive from God. Now, true wisdom, the truest form of wisdom, the most bountiful gift of wisdom you will ever receive, will only come through Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus, we like to say, is our wisdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, you can just listen. And because of him, that is God the Father, you are in Christ Jesus. That means you are united to Jesus. By faith, you are hidden in Christ now, inseparable. So because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. We boast in Christ because he is everything to us. For the Christian, Christ is everything. He is wisdom, wisdom personified, wisdom manifested, the wisdom of God in the flesh, and we are united to him. That's why in Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, Paul says that in Jesus are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This matters because our wise God imparts wisdom for the hurting and the fearful, for the ignorant, and for the guilty. Some of you are hurting and are fearful because of a situation that you're in. Maybe you've blown up your own life through your own decisions. Maybe somebody else is attacking you and sabotaging your life. Maybe it's a spiritual attack. It could be anything from a moral failure to just conflict in your life and a hardship that is out of your control. For those who are hurting and fearful and you start to ask that question, what is going on in God's mind? I do not understand what he's doing. Your assurance and sense of peace and a return of joy will only be found if you embrace this truth that God is wise. There is purpose in what you're going through. And if you pray for it and ask for it in that context, God will give it to you. And if you find yourself to be ignorant, right? Ignorant means you don't know. I don't have the answers. So you might be in a situation in your life where you have to do something. You have to make a decision, and you absolutely do not know which way to go, because it's not like there's a magic bullet verse in this situation that tells you exactly what to do. And you ask all of your friends, but they're either dumb or they're coming up with a bunch of different options. And so you don't know which one to choose. And you really, like, I'm at a loss. Sometimes we're at a loss. And when you are ignorant and we don't know which way to go, we're afraid and we're kept waiting for this special thing to happen so it's nice and clear and easy. Sometimes God wants us to exist in that place of ignorance for a period of time so that we will rely on him to give us the wisdom that we lack. Wisdom doesn't just happen. It's built, it's taught, it's Holy Spirit constructed. If you lack knowledge and wisdom, you seek it from the source. We're so quick to settle on secondary sources, which can be good, but ultimately, true wisdom comes from above. For the hurting, the fearful, for the ignorant, and for the guilty. You see, That's everybody. Right? Guilty of sin and failure. And for the guilty, God, in his wisdom, offers us forgiveness, which is so strange because it's the best plan. God didn't reluctantly choose to save sinners because, well, I guess somebody's got to do it. Or I guess we could try that. It's the best conceivable plan and purpose to redeem sinful, rebellious, wayward, ignorant, willful, hateful, lustful, jealous people like you and me. It's what he does. He loves us and in his wisdom offers us salvation, forgiveness, all of these spiritual blessings we read about in Ephesians. It matters because a wise God imparts wisdom. I want us to be a people who seek wisdom. I want us to be wise. I want to be wise, and it's not something that we're born with. We have to seek it. If we're going to seek it, it means we will pray together for it. We will pray individually for it. We will read God's word and be willing to receive it. And when God's people speak the truth of God's word to us, we are ready to hear it. That means that all of us, when we know it, have to be ready to share it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask that you would teach us what we need to know. Lord, I know some here have worked out doctrines like this very well for themselves. We pray, Lord, that you would move them to help others to understand. Or maybe, Lord, this is a new concept to some of us, and we're wrestling with it. We're trying to figure it out, Lord. Help us to be open and teachable. God, we pray that we would be eager to receive your word, to believe your truth, and to respond in faith and obedience. Help us to see that your wisdom is ultimately revealed in Jesus, who saves sinners. In Christ's name we pray.